show. Hopefully you had a great weekend, and hopefully we'll be able to kick off a great week together. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and a great sports weekend it was, my friend. So you want to join us on this journey, talking sports with friends, give us a call, 718-664-9098. Hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We'll get to all your emails. We thank you so much. Thank all the listeners, man. I mean, we've been doing this since September 4th, man, and it's, you know, the football, basketball, baseball season, and it's been a journey, and we've got over 37,000 listeners, so just thank you. Thank you for listening and enjoying us on the journey. And, hey, check out all the back episodes, right, at rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Like us on Facebook. We're very interactive. And, you know, listen to some of those old episodes. We got David Shaw, Bob Brenly, Al Trotwig, Peter Vesey. Right, Ray? We've done some nice interviews.
Oh, yeah. So we've got some. And we cover all sports, right? We had Jeff Zilgin from USA Today and Ian Bagley from ESPN New York. We had a George Reitster a couple times, ex-NFL tight end. You know, we cover all the sports. And if you got a sport
Seth
or
Davis.
You want
Can't
to
forget
cover,
a big
Seth
guy.
Davis covering
yeah.
college basketball. We'll have a guest, Charles Davis, later this week talking about the NFL. He represents Fox and the NFL Network. So if you've got a topic that you want to hear about or if you've got some opinions, then get at us, Twitter, Facebook, whatever media you like, email, old school, if you're old school like me, and if you're a lefty, even better. If you're a lefty, then just start the comment with, I'm a lefty, and then you'll definitely get some love. But, you know, if you want to get us on Facebook, Twitter, calling in, the website, we have polls, we're interactive everywhere. So we really do view this as talking sports with friends, and if you want to be part of the show, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, definitely. So let them know, man. How are we breaking it down today?
All right. So we got an action-packed show. We've got some breaking news hot off the presses in the world of sports. We'll be talking a little NBA, NFL, NHL. The playoffs start tomorrow. We've got some prize happenings in Major League Baseball. So we've got some breaking news. And then we'll go in-depth in a couple of segments. So first one, we'll go around the NBA, around the association. We'll talk about these 8 playoff series. 2 of them are over, a couple of sweeps, and then we've got another 4 series in play, or another 6 series in play. And then we'll talk about the NFL draft. We'll go through the draft, what Ray and Tay think of the draft. There's a couple of people that we disagree about. We'll bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you, you know, who we thought did well, who we thought was, you know, a little bit stretching in reaching in their picks. And I got a new saying, folks. Here it is. And the saying is, when I'm wrong, I write. Because, you know, if I get it wrong, I'll write an apology letter. We have
yeah,
a segment
our segment,
I'm
sorry segment, right?
we have a show. We have a segment show called I'm Sorry. So if we say something, we talk a lot and we have a lot of opinions. And you know what? We're old enough and mature
and
enough.
Man and, enough, yeah.
And man enough to say, hey, look, we were wrong. We can be wrong. So there's a couple people in this NFL draft that one of us it might be writing some apology letters. And so my new motto is when I'm wrong, I write. So I will admit it. If I don't, you know, if I get it wrong and I'm off the mark, I'll admit it. But I'll tell you who I was right about is Mark Sanchez. We'll get into that.
Well, let's jump right into it. I mean, we'll talk about some of these trades and different movements. But big news, Tim Tebow released, cut this morning from the Jets. You could say whatever you want, but this happens, ladies and gentlemen, who are more Tebow fans than NFL fans. FYI, just so you know, this happens to players all the time. They are a piece of meat. The Jets did try to trade him for a 6th or 7th round pick. No one wanted him. He also is refusing to – some teams were interested in him as a tight end, and he was trying to stick to his guns as a quarterback. So some of it's on Tebow. You know, I know he's got a big fan base, and look, you know, he's a great guy and yada, 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 but let's not make so much of a big deal about a third-string quarterback that, you know, got his opportunity and, you know, they changed their whole system for him because he was the Broncos' first-round pick. The Jets, they just traded a fourth and sixth for him and got Tebow in a seventh. So they're not going to change their whole offense for him, and he didn't prove to them that they needed to. So, ladies and gentlemen, just hope that he gets picked up by McDaniels and the Patriots or from Mike McCoy and the Chargers. And if not, the CFL, or maybe he'll have to say, okay, I want to play. I'll be a fullback or tight end. That's my thoughts. Break it down, Ray. What you think about this mess?
You know, I agree with everything you said. The guy's getting a lot of pub because his name is Tim Tebow. Now, granted, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, and he won two national championships at Florida. So he's not, you know, a kid from the local rec league that's in the NFL. But
yeah,
so
well, Frazier did.
You know,
Frazier did his thing, and so did Charlie Ward. Nobody was talking about them.
Well, that's true. but with Tebow, you know, he's getting far too much publicity. What I want to see for his sake, for the kid's sake, is to see him play. I'm not sure he's a quarterback, though. But I would like to see him play. I'd like to see him go with a creative offensive coordinator and just see if they can't plug him in. The problem that I've always had with Tebow, forget about his skills as a quarterback, which I think are not where you'd want them to be.
Subpar.
The problem is you have to change everything to bring out his skills. So even if you want him, he's so unique that even if you want him to be your starting quarterback or your backup quarterback, you have to build an offense around this guy. And when you build an offense around this guy, who is his backup or who else is on the roster that can play him or play him on the scout team? His skills are so unique, and his size and his ability to move and his ability to run, not necessarily his ability to throw, but his ability to run, that you've got to do so much conforming and contorting to get to bring out his skills that you really have to go all in for Tim Tebow, and I think a lot of teams are just saying, we don't want to do that. But
yeah,
if he were able to play another position, I would actually be excited about that, see if he can contribute. And it's not the worst thing in the world to not be a quarterback in the NFL.
Right. But I think for him, he's just going to – I personally think he'll wind up in the CFL, which is not the worst thing. Ask Warren Moon or Doug Flutie. Right, or Jim Kelly. I mean, other guys have been in other leagues. Or, I'm sorry, Jim Kelly was in the USFL, but other guys have been in other leagues, played, excelled, and come back to the NFL. So, hey, I wish them all the best. I think the Jets made the right move. I wish that they could have, you know, they can trade Sanchez. We'll see how that all works out, you know, later on. Or, you know, they can't really cut him. It's too much against the salary. But, you know, now they're from six quarterbacks down to five. So, you know, hey. But, you know what, before we get into the other big breaking news, let's skip that and hold off on Jason Collins. I know people want to hear about it. We're going to talk about it. But let's talk about the NHL playoffs, man. They did a shortened season. You know, they had their lockout for a long time. And Ray and I don't talk much about hockey. I mean, we've mentioned the Penguins and the Blackhawks and different teams this year. But let's break it down, man. Let's start off in the Eastern Conference, right? So you got to give shout-out to Pittsburgh. The Penguins led the conference, number one seed, 72 points. You know, a great record. They're matched up against the New York Islanders, our hockey team that Ray and I loved growing up, right? Who barely squeezed in at 24-17-7 and 55 points, Ray. But they're in the playoffs. They got a shot. So, you know, kudos to them. We'll see what happens. You got to believe the Penguins are pretty much a strong favorite in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, with hockey.
And obviously, you know, you never know with the Penguins, you know, the health
exactly.
Of Sidney Crosby and of their star players, but you know, it's good for me to see the Islanders back in the playoffs. Look, they're eventually going to move to Brooklyn, and they're going to leave that horrible facility in Uniondale. But as an Islander fan from the 70s and 80s growing up, they're back. They're back in the playoffs.
I'm happy.
Young talent. I'm not sure they can do much this year, but I'm glad. You know what?
It's a start, right?
Yeah, you can't just turn it on and start winning. You have to learn how to win. You have to draft players. You have to have a winning mentality. And it starts with getting an 8 seed. So let's go season by season and try to get better.
Yep, and then we've got the 2-7 matchup, the legendary Montreal Canadiens against Ottawa, the Senators. Now, Ottawa's interesting because, to me, one thing about Ottawa, not that Montreal is primed for an upset, right, but they're really only 3 games apart in terms of, they're 7 games apart in the 3 games apart in the loss column, right? But they had their different ties and stuff. So traditionally, the season's normally longer, but when you have such a short schedule, the 2-7 matchup, Ottawa's got a shot at 25-17 with 6 ties, and you look at Montreal, and even though Montreal, they've got good goal play and some good scorers, at 29-14-5, it's not such a huge gap, right? I think this year you might see more upsets in the NHL playoffs, which you normally always get, right? I mean, you always,
right.
We've seen it with San Jose. We've seen it with other teams. But this year I think that there might be more than ever. It could be kind of interesting. So then why don't you tell them who's rocking in
the rest of the Eastern Conference, right? So those are the two. That's the 1-8, 2-7. And then the 3-6 is an interesting matchup last few years. Is Washington and the Rangers. So
battle. You've
got a nice little battle of, teams that hate each other from the Atlantic Division. And then you've got your 4-5 matchup. So you've got some original 6 hockey right there with Boston and Toronto. So Toronto's another team that typically, that hasn't been very good. Put them in the category of the Islanders. They haven't been very good last few years. But Boston, Toronto, Northeast Division rivals. So those two are going to go at it. And, at the end of the day, hockey has 2 elite teams. And really it's Pittsburgh, it's Pittsburgh in the East and Chicago in the West. So, hockey is that one sport where 2 things happen. Number one is if you get a hot goaltender, you can go very
far
into the playoffs. And number
That's
2
right.
is that there are upsets all the time. I mean, unlike basketball and unlike other sports, let's say baseball, that play, longer series, typically the team with the home ice or home field advantage wins a majority of the time. In hockey playoffs, anything can happen. So let's move on to the West, having said all that, right? Let's move on to the West. So, again, the other dominant team with the long winning streak and the team that, was all that, a few years.
The best record
overall,
yeah.
From winning the cup themselves.
Points.
Yeah, so they're pretty impressive. So Chicago, and they beat they'll match up against a Minnesota Wild team that barely, snuck in. There were a few teams
Minnesota.
That 54, a point. But yeah, Chicago's unbelievable, right? 30 they win 25 in a row. So they have 36 wins, 7 losses. In regulation and obviously 5 overtime losses for
this Ray would be the
points.
Hugest upset in hockey history. I got to say that right now. If Minnesota could ever get it together at 26-19, and they're sort of a younger team, if they could get it together and ever beat Chicago, that would be crazy, just crazy.
Especially this
now,
year with Chicago winning that.
Yeah. Now 2-7, you got Anaheim right against Detroit. Now, kudos to the Red Wings. You just got a little fun fact. They have made the playoffs in the NHL for 22 years straight, and they're the 7th seed. So they just barely got in with 56 points. But that's just awesome, and that's just, they're one of the legendary franchises, like
Hockey
the Canadiens,
USA,
yeah,
baby.
Detroit, Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs. So you like to see Detroit. They might be able to
well,
they might be one of those teams, right?
So that's nice and clutch. Detroit is nice and clutch. They won the games that they had to, right? They finished 3rd in the Central, but they still had to win every one of those last games to sneak in. Up until a week ago, they could have been out of the playoffs, 7, 8, 9. So good for them. So that 2-7.
They might have something for Anaheim. You have to keep an eye on that matchup.
A nice 2-7.
And then 3-6. Vancouver against San Jose. Maybe it's San Jose's turn. They've been upset before, right? Maybe it's their turn to pull off an upset against Vancouver. This should be fun.
Well, it's so funny because San Jose, over the last 5 years has had some really good teams, and they had some, you know, a couple times they had the first or second record in the Western Conference, and they were always the team that was disappointing. So now they're coming in as the sixth seed, and maybe
they beat Vancouver this year, 3-0 against Vancouver. So that tells you right there, this is an easy upset matchup. Not saying they'll do it, but they've got a shot because they've owned
Vancouver
this season.
Right, and also remember that on a points basis, like you said, with the condensed season, Vancouver is 59 points and San Jose is 57. So it's not this is your traditional 3-6 matchup.
They're only separated
by essentially by one game.
Yeah. And then last but not least, 4-5, right? St. Louis Blues against the Los Angeles Kings. Number 5 seed, defending champs. I don't know. This one's going to be fun. 60 points and 59 for Los Angeles. You talk about for Los Angeles. You talk about a tight 4-5 matchup. This is going to go the distance here. That's going to be a battle.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Sometimes we go in and out on hockey season during the regular.
The playoffs are great.
Playoffs are fun. Playoffs are really fun. And kudos, you know what? These hockey players.
Less fighting, though, Ray. That's why it's more like the Olympics. They just play
hockey.
They're not fighting. It's fun.
That's true. But you also see that these guys are great, great athletes. I mean, people don't give
incredible
players enough credit. You know, to me, I say it's like two sports. You know, skating as one sport and sort of the stick handling as another sport. So these guys do, you know, try to get on there and do a shift for 45 seconds or for a minute. It's tough. And they're getting hit, and they're bigger, and they're all on ice and creating
bigger,
a lot of momentum.
Strong. They're like, you know what's so funny? Some of these guys are like linebackers. Some of them are like 6'3", like 240 on ice. And they hit you and pin you against the glass. It's a wrap, Jackson.
With a stick in their hands, too.
Let's not talk about that.
Carry a big stick, you know?
All right. So let's get into it. Jason Collins today, Sports Illustrated article, right? It came out today that he is basically announcing that he is an actively gay athlete in professional sports, that he's gay American, gay African American. And now, for those who don't know, Jason Collins, you know, Stanford alum, played with the Nets, you know, a bunch of different teams. This year, what was it, Ray? He played about 34 games as a backup center
games
for the Wizards.
And averaged 1 point and 1.5 rebounds a game.
So he barely played. So I will say this, right? He really only played because he wasn't on the opening day roster because for Washington, for those who don't know, everybody thinks about John Wall being hurt the whole season or most of the season. Well, Nene and Emeka Okafor were also hurt a lot of the season for the Wizards. So hence they had picked up Jason Collins and he, you know, got in. Obviously he didn't play that much. But, you know, I know for a lot of people are going to feel one way or another about it. People will have different feelings. To me, it's none of my business. But for those who are influenced, there's a lot of kids out there who might be into sports and they might be gay and they don't feel that they can say anything or they have to hide or whatever. So I think there are positives to this story, I think, for people who need a role model. And I don't know if Jason feels that he is or a trailblazer, but he definitely is. And, you know, hey, I've got no hatred in my heart, so I say kudos to him. And, you know, I think he did the right thing. And, you know, if it can help one kid and it can help, you know, people to understand one another better and be like, okay, here's a big 7-foot guy who is saying that he's gay and plays basketball. Well, there's gay people in all walks of life, and I think we've got to realize that, and it should not be a big deal or a big story anymore. I think that's where we got to get to.
So I think you're absolutely right, and I agree with you 100%. The practical reality, however, is that it's still in pro sports, especially with male, because Brittany Griner came out and nobody really said too much about it. But in terms of men's professional sports, it's still relatively difficult and relatively taboo, which is kind of silly because if you think about it, you know, proportionally, whatever percentage of the population is gay, I'm sure is the same percentage of the population, more or less, in these sports. So you would think that that's
in every profession,
life.
Exactly.
In every profession, right? And so
yeah.
Sports reflects life. So the fact that we haven't heard of an openly gay football player, baseball player, basketball player, that's just because they're scared, you know, scared to come out. So
yeah.
So some people will push back and say Jason Collins isn't a big athlete. He did it at age 34. May or
yeah.
may not play again in the NBA. You know, all that's true, but. You know, it still takes a lot of guts because now you're going to have reporters outside of his house at all times. You're going to be, you know,
for a while, not interviewing
him and his Stanford teammates and so forth. So it does still take a lot of courage and conviction to do what he did. So I think it's a step forward. I think getting it out there and getting it into the discourse and people talking about it. And what was nice to see was that there was a lot of support from not only his teammates, which that's you know, hopefully to be expected because you know the guy.
Bill Clinton, right? Chelsea Clinton, Obama,
yeah.
everybody.
Yeah, yeah,
like...
But also his opponents, right? His colleagues, his people that he's played against throughout the years. Because, look, he's been in the league. He's never been a star. He and his twin brother came out of Stanford. But they've never been stars. But he's certainly been been in the NBA for, 11, 12 years. So he's had a lot of teammates and a lot of people he's played against. And so, you know, for the most part, everything we've heard so far has been positive and supportive of him. So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, definitely. So before we get into the NBA, let's just give baseball a little bit of love. Couple things. Number one, tonight, a star. A star is out there in Queens, baby, Citi Field. Matt Harvey. They're on the road. I forgot who they're playing tonight. Is it Miami or somebody? But Matt Harvey's pitching tonight for the Mets, and he's going for 5-0. And I'm happy for Mets fans, but I'm just happy for this kid because it looks like the Mets have got they're in Miami, a bona fide number one starter. He is a truck. He out-pitched our boy Steven Strasburg last time
yeah.
he was on the mound, you know, or the time before, because last time he didn't get a win, but got the win against the Washington Nats a couple weeks ago and his start before last. And, you know, the kid is – but his last start, he got no decision, but the Mets still won. I think it was 7-3. So, you know, kudos, you know, yeah, when they hit the grand slam. So kudos to him. David Wright's not playing tonight, but just want to give him a shout-out. And Ray – we both picked them low, and we might have to get our letters ready. Tell us, who's got the best record in Major League Baseball?
You know, I almost don't even want to say it. But after 25 games, the Red Sox are 18-7, and
wow.
they have the best record in baseball. Not only that, so you know, they're 7-3 in their last 10. But
just swept the Astros.
Yeah, well, the Astros, they're a
bottom
of the league team.
Peter.
But if you look at the whole AL East, it is exactly opposite of what I predicted in our preview show. So Boston is first, the Yankees are second, Baltimore's third, and they're pretty close. Tampa is fourth, and Toronto is fifth. That is exactly in reverse order of how I picked it. So
that's
we'll
funny.
See if I got to make some apology letters to the whole AL East.
To the whole AL East. Ray
or,
from Ray and Jay today apologizes
stamps.
To the whole division.
I got to buy a lot of stamps. You know, thankfully they have these forever stamps, so you know you don't have to worry about if they raise the prices on you. So
I still got some of those forever stamps. I think it's just fascinating, and you know, obviously the Braves, Orioles, you know, a couple of Royals are playing good. So, you know, look, we'll give you some more baseball, but it's definitely time for the NBA playoffs. What a weekend! Before we even get into the crazy games and stuff, I just got to give a shout out. Congrats to the Heat and the Spurs, because those games really weren't that interesting. Not that much to talk about. No way, no problem. Heat sweep. LeBron just does his thing again. And then the Spurs, and we will talk about the embarrassment of the Lakers and Dwight Howard, you know. So what do you think about that? Let's just get into that real quick. Howard, 7 points. What did he play, like 20 minutes? He kind of – it's like I felt like he tapped out. And I think that's why he's being criticized by Magic Johnson, Stephen A. Smith, certain people, Laker fans, different people. I just feel like he kind of – was like, you know what, I'm jumping off this ship. I don't want to be on the court when we get swept. And to me, that's not cool. That's not cool. Go out like a warrior, man.
Yeah, this is my problem with that.
I don't want him on my team, Ray. I'm glad I'm not like a fan. I got to throw it out there to you.
That's where we're
gotta
going with this. That's where we're going with this. You know, Dwight Howard was a rising star, and is still a star in the NBA. Took his team to an NBA Finals, which was pretty unbelievable because if you peel back the onion and remember who he had, I mean, he had a Hito Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis front court with Jameer Nelson, you know, really, and Mikal Petras in, you know, in the backcourt. And if you look at, other than Dwight Howard, really none of those players, unless you're a core, you know, NBA fanatic, none of those players.
Courtney
really
Lee? Yeah, Courtney Lee, who was getting busy that rookie year.
Yeah, he was a rookie. But the point is that he really carried that team to the finals. And, you know, frankly, they won a game. And they, you know, they went down 4-1 to the Lakers. But he's done some things in the playoffs and the regular season. But all of these signs are a little bit worrisome, you know. If you're the Lakers and you need to build your franchise, because obviously Kobe is, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, if he drinks a lot of,
the most,
you know,
yeah,
wheat juice and cranberries and does his, you know, P90X in the off season or whatever they do in L.A., But you know, he's pretty much at the end of his career. And even Pau Gasol, who, you know, frankly, you owe him $19 million next year, let's say he's on the downside of his career too. And other than that, they don't really – and Nash is, you know, again, a year away.
Three guys under contract, Ray. That's it.
So the question is – so first of all, you're disappointed, of course, that Dwight Howard – it's like he, like you said, it's like he checked out. It's like he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to go down with the ship, which is funny because right when he leaves, Kobe Bryant shows up. And he did that probably to one up him a little bit.
Stephen A. had a good point. You know what he said? He was in the locker room and was almost like he comes out and says, like, let the Lakers know, like, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, and I'll be back. So even though, you know, this guy who, you know, you're looking to as your future is sort of tapping out, I'm injured, but I'm here on the bench. I'm on the men, and the Black Mamba will return.
So if you're L.A., what do? You just let them go?
No. They're stuck. There's nobody out there.
If you're saying to me you don't want him.
I don't want him, but I'm not a Laker fan.
$117 million or whatever the cap number is.
Right, but you can't totally. You can't. There's no other talent. Look, you've got a better shot next year or the year after having Howard and building the rest of the roster and having Kobe, let's say, for half a year and maybe his final year the year after that or whatever to win it and then build around just Kobe, then you do saying, okay, let's have no Kobe probably for the beginning of the season. Let's say he comes back, best case scenario, the Christmas, right, January, you know, Kobe's going to work his butt off. And you get rid of Dwight. So basically you've got Gasol, Nash, partial Kobe, and then who are you signing? They're not going to bring back Meta. They finally got rid of that contract. I mean, then, you know, half these guys won't even be on a team. I mean, you talk about earning your stripes as a GM and stuff. They're going to – Mitch Kupchak and you know, now the, you know, Jerry Buss's kids, Jeannie and Jim, they're going to have to really work it out to get a good roster.
Yeah, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But I think you can't give
can't
up.
Can't let him walk away, yeah.
Dwight Howard. I mean, maybe what you don't grant him is a no-trade clause. Maybe you have the option to trade him. And maybe 2-3 years down the road, you trade him and you rebuild. You have him for 2 years, maybe work with Kobe and try to win that last championship under the Kobe era. The problem I've always had is that their coach. First, they went from a totally defensive-minded coach in Mike Brown, and then they went to a totally offensive-minded coach in Mike D'Antoni. So they're totally schizophrenic, and that.
And it's the wrong coach for the Dwight Howard. He's
the
wrong coach
for
Dwight
together.
Howard.
Yeah.
You're
so,
right. Yeah.
So I don't
know.
Well,
look, it looks like they said. Remember, we read that a couple of weeks ago and told our audience. It looks like Jeannie Buss is going to be driving the ship more than her brother. I think that's what they decided, so maybe she looks for her husband to come back and be the head coach. Crazier things have happened.
Are they married, by the way?
Yeah.
Are they married or are they just boyfriend and girlfriend?
No, no, they just got married
this
year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So, yeah, so you know what? Let's not give the Lakers too much love because they're out. Let's talk about who's
No, let's talk about the Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets. Lil Nate Robinson, yo, Lil Nene. Lil Nate is ridiculous. One of the greatest playoff performances, Ray, I'm going to tell you, is easily top five. Stephen A. said top three. Eric Taylor. Tay's going to be like top five. But it was ridiculous.
He's up there
Joe
with Isaiah
Johnson.
Thomas, with Sleepy Floyd. With, you know,
yeah, yeah. No, it's you know, I mean, I think of LeBron with the 25. I think of Jordan lighting up Portland. Definitely Sleepy Floyd, Isaiah, and then and what Nate did. And then he almost gets out-dueled by Stephen Curry the next night. But let's just focus on Nate. First of all, Joe Johnson hit an amazing shot to, like, tie up the game, set it to overtime. Nate, his shot was incredible. He does the floater. They were going back and forth, Ray. It was so much fun. But I almost feel bad for Brooklyn because if it wasn't Joe or D. Williams, like, DeRon was, I mean, both of them, Darren and Joe, it was just basically dribble at the top of the key, try to cross your guy up a little, and throw up a jumper. There was no, like, they didn't even do a screen and roll coming off two picks. And it was like with plenty of time, they're breaking down. And I was just like, you got to get better shots. You got to have a
so
play
is that
call, PJ.
Or is that Darren Williams or is that play call?
I don't know. It looked like that's what they called, just an ISO. And I just feel like that's a problem with the Nets. Because we're talking about this game. But remember, they lost game three in Chicago, 79-76. This Net team, I know Chicago's defense is good, but you're going to tell me they can only get 76 points? I mean, they have too much talent. I mean, just between Lopez, Johnson, and Williams, the three of them could drop 60 by themselves. I don't think they're using Marshawn Brooks well. He's a scoring machine. I don't know. You know, he doesn't play. Watson can score. They have guys that can put the ball in the hole, Ray, but I just think –
So do you think the Nets can – even extended to seven
tonight,
to win this series, or you think it's over?
I took Brooklyn because I thought Noah would not play at all. That's what they were saying. Noah is a warrior. He's been gutting it out. Carlos Boozer is playing out of his mind. Nate Robinson, you said Heinrich might be out today. I think the Nets are going to have enough pride to pull out this game at home tonight. And then I think Chicago wins game six. I think Brooklyn's done. I just think there will. And I think if Noah rests tonight, not to say he's going to take the night off, but if he rests, and then I guess they play again Wednesday or Thursday, game six in Chicago, Noah will play enough, give you 25, 30 minutes, and Boozer's on in that crowd, it's done. Brooklyn can't win this series.
Okay, well, let's
think
keep it in
good.
The East.
Yeah.
And say, all right, so now Brooklyn now, obviously, if Brooklyn were to win, I mean, if Chicago were to win,
they play the
then
Heat.
They would play the Heat. The Heat swept the Bucks. You know, do you take anything away from that series, or was that just the better
team
taking care of business?
Well, you know what I take away is that they told Dwayne Wade, we got you. Just rest. That's what I take away. They were able to beat the Bucks. Look, if we went to other playoff formats, the Jazz would have been the A seed in the East, you know, and the Bucks weren't even good enough to be a top 16 team. They'd be number 17 or 18. So, to me, I think the Bucks, you know, I love that backcourt, but they're just not good enough, and they don't have enough talent. The Bucks are maybe a couple players away still from even really being legitimate playoff team, and you know, I don't know. You know the little guard syndrome with Monte Ellis. He's great, but he's not a one or a two. He's just a tweener, and I never love tweeners at the 1-2 or the 3-4. Those tweeners drive me crazy. But
Brandon Jennings, after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, he might go. But I think what's interesting. Let's give a little bit of love to the Hawks, right? They, if the Knicks tomorrow or Wednesday take care of Boston, like I think they will. I think Atlanta, the way that they dominated the Pacers, I think they're going to push them a little bit that this series might actually have to go six or seven because I think Atlanta put the smackdown on the Pacers and to win game three. It was almost embarrassing. Like, I mean, you know, you turn around and it's like 37 to 16 or 18. I'm like, what? I mean, Atlanta just put it on them, and I think they're so much, you know, they're so, so good at home and then so suspect on the road. But I think Atlanta could pull out game four, and the Pacers would get, you know, burned out a little bit. And, you know, I think the Knicks, JR's back. You know, he did a knucklehead move. And he hit Terry and got suspended, you know. And we talked about that off air, and I was like, yo, he just cracked him, you know. And I think JR, you know, made a mistake. I mean, but listen, the Knicks almost won that game, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know. What did you think about it? You break it down. I thought it was awesome. And I thought Felton's performance was another great performance. And Melo shot way too much.
Yeah, 10 to 35 or something like that. So
36.
What I like about the Knicks every time, you know, what you can say what you want about their game and how they were streaky, and they started up first third of the season was great, middle third was shaky, and then the last third of the season was great. Again, you know, shooting threes can be up and down. But one thing the Knicks have always done this season, we've talked about this, was fight back from adversity. Play D also, but I'm thinking more about adversity, right? Next man up. So Amari goes down, next man up. And that's JR. And now JR goes down, and the Knicks fought. And even despite Carmelo shooting too much and having a bad shooting game, they still were in it and had a chance to win. So I think all of this bodes well because, look, they'll get through Boston, and whether they do it in five or six, they'll get through Boston. And then they'll meet the Indiana-Atlanta winner. But at the end of the day, all of this bodes well, I think, for an Eastern Conference showdown against a better team. So you really need to have this confidence, and you need to have these players go through adversity to be able to win on the road, you know, in a hostile environment. And, you know, JR needs to keep his cool, but, you know.
And I think he will.
I think so far the Knicks are on, you know, on pace to do some things. And if they can, you know, stretch out some of these series, or at least if their opponents have to be stretched out a little bit, then you increase the likelihood that Amari comes back and maybe gives you a few minutes off the bench, because Kenyon is still 35 and Tyson Chandler is still not healthy.
Yo, Kenyon looks fresh, though, man. He's playing ball.
If we can get those three in the front court, that would be great.
Oh, man, it was so exciting. Shumpert hit the three in the corner. Listen, Melo, you can say what you want. He kind of choked a little bit the free throw line, but
yeah,
overall, though, he made, what did he make? He was like 16 for 20. He made like mad free throw, or 18 for 20. I mean, Melo was incredible. One thing I love about Melo, he's so smart. Like, he does a little up fake, gets the foul, fouled out Brandon Bass. I think he's the most versatile scorer in the NBA, even more than Durant and LeBron. Carmelo Anthony is just a machine, yo. He's a scoring machine.
He's an 80s type of player, you know?
Yeah.
He's like an 80s type of player playing today. You know, he's like the child, the offspring, the genetic offspring of, like, Alex English.
Alex English, yes. He got a little BK Love in him, a little Alex English, a little Adrian Dantley. You could say all of those cats exactly. That's perfect, right? That's perfect.
So let's go over to the West. Yeah, let's get on over to the West.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, we talked about it the other show, but now it's official. No Westbrook. And, you know, we wish him a speedy recovery with his knee surgery. OKC tonight, one of the three games. You got the Brooklyn, the Pacers, Atlanta, and Brooklyn, Chicago, and then OKC, Houston. I think Houston is going to hold off the broom. I really feel that Houston, they went at it game three. And I think that Durant shot that hit, he bounced and it fell and hit whatever and it falls down and it goes in. I think Houston almost had them, and I don't think you're going to get the same performances. Not to say that Durant can't get 41 again, right? But I don't know about some of the other players that played well. I don't know about Ibaka and Reggie Jackson. If they're going to give you the same performances, I think Houston, they get one game. I really think they're going to win tonight.
Okay, and I think a young team, I think – by age, they are the youngest team in the NBA, if I recall correctly, the Rockets.
Yeah.
So Daryl Morey is building himself a nice little squad there.
Oh, yeah, Mikhail's happy.
They need, yeah, that they need a little more in the front court. But Omer Asik was a great pickup. Everybody thought they overpaid for him. But you know what? He anchored that front court. And then Chandler Parsons out of Florida. Who thought that he'd have this kind of NBA career? And then, obviously, Harden is just the star of stars, right? Goes from 16 a game as a sixth man to 25 a game as a starter. So yeah, they look like they're going out, but you know, good for them, especially in that brutal Western Conference, to have something to look forward to, especially being so young. So if they were to win OKC, then obviously they would play that 4-5 matchup, which is looking like home court.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
All the way to game 7. But
that's what I told you. I truly feel about that series. I got to tell you, Memphis, man. Clippers try, but Memphis at home, they are incredible. Gasol and watching Conley, Zach Randolph at home. I mean, it's incredible. You know what I think? Memphis, if somehow they can sort of – they could steal one in L.A. I think the Clippers will win this series, but I think Memphis has got a shot to steal one if they can just control CP3. Don't let him get the clutch shots. Don't let him sort of, you know, take over. And it's going to probably be on Conley or Tony Allen, but I think somehow Memphis could steal one. We'll see what happens game 5, but that's a great series. That's just, I mean,
yeah,
what else can you
say? Yeah, that's a classic NBA series. And now that Oklahoma City is down, Russell Westbrook, you know both of those teams are licking their chops, thinking to themselves, if we win this, we have as good a chance as any 4-5 team to beat, you know, a wounded number one and go to the
right.
Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, you hate to see the injuries, right? But this NBA playoff, almost like last year, is full of these injuries. So I think it's looking like the two teams that got the sweeps, they might face each other. And let me ask you this, because this is something we might have to talk about. If Duncan ever could beat LeBron, where are we going to have to put Duncan in all time? This would be the greatest, I got to tell you, because Ginobili's older, Duncan's old, you know, kind of old. If they could ever pull this off, Ray, if the Spurs could ever stop the Heat from repeating, wow, we'd have to, because Duncan's been playing his butt off, man. We'd have to give him and Ginobili this team.
Wow.
It's going to be interesting. But it definitely makes the road a lot easier for the Spurs or the Clippers-Memphis winner, right? Because, you know, not having Westbrook opens it up for everybody else. So it's going to be fun. We'll see. Watch the games tonight. I mean, these classic performances. And Curry, we got to talk about it. Yeah, we got to talk about Denver Golden State. Curry last night, incredible. Golden State, Denver will win the next game at home. They'll save face, but back at Golden State for game 6, it's a wrap. Golden State has got it, man. I'm telling you. I predicted this.
Mark Jackson for the second round?
You know what he said last night? Did you see that? I had to retweet it. It was incredible. He was like, right now, the way you guys are balling out, I'm jealous. Because you guys are playing some serious basketball. That's what he said in the huddle last night. It gave me chills. I was like, tell him, Mark. Mark was like, I wish I was out there with you, yo. And that's what you love from your head coach, because you know he did it for mad years. You know, he doesn't have any jewelry, but Mark Jackson is one of the best, you know, top 5, 6, 7, 8 point guards of all time. And he's your head coach. And Curry, what Curry did, Jackson said he was, you know, struggling so much in the first half that he was going to bench him, and he told him. He was like, yuck, your ankle's not off, your shot's off, you're like 1 for 6, 1 for 7. Curry was like, no, 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 no. He said it was sort of like a boxer on the ropes. How you like that, a boxer on the ropes? And Curry came out third quarter, schwap, schwap, schwap. Is he one of the best shooters you've ever seen?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, even better than his father, because I think
he's
a little bit taller, a little bit more athletic. He can get his
shot. He's shorter than his father. He's not taller. He's shorter than his dad.
Really? I think he plays. Well, you might be
right.
He's
a little shorter.
I think he plays a little bit. Maybe he plays.
He's got more handle than his dad.
Yeah, and he can get his shot off, I feel like, in traffic. And the good thing about him was, again, for all you kids out there, he stayed that extra year at Davidson.
And worked on his game.
Point. And he worked on creating his own shot and creating for others. So his offensive game has improved so much, and it's questionable if it would have improved that way in the NBA, right? He may not have been able to get this, get his game up to where it is now by playing, you know, in practice or by playing in games in the NBA, because they're like, look, developing your game is great, but we're trying to win now.
Exactly, exactly.
Hold on.
Well,
like
let's get to the NBA, to the NFL draft. But
we
got a caller.
Let's see what the caller's got to say. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, guys. Mike in Pittsburgh. How you two doing today?
Damn,
hey,
my guy.
On?
How you doing,
hey.
Mike?
Dude, hey, I'd like to talk about the big story of the day, and I want to do it in an objective way here. Jason Collins, the NBA player, the first openly gay player to come out in major sports.
Right.
Here's my thing, and this is totally objective here. The people, it seems right now, the people that, you know, would be against it or who do not favor, you know, homosexuality are kind of getting attacked here. And I'm not judging anybody at all, but, like, for instance, if you're a religious person, you know, most major religions are against homosexuality. And
Correct. Basically,
what the media, Hollywood, you know, all the major sports, you know, the people involved are telling you is to go against your beliefs, you know, that you've, you know, from since you're a kid in religion and just accept this. Now, personally, I don't hate anybody. I'm not against anybody. I just don't think it's right. And that's it. I mean, nothing against anybody, you know, no ill will. But I do believe in religion myself, and a lot of these people, I believe, like these analysts and even players, are afraid right now to come and say, I'm not for this. They're afraid, you know, it's like reverse backlash. Now if you just don't jump on board and say, I support this 100%.
Right, if you're not being PC.
Yeah,
let
no,
me
no,
say
no,
this.
Hey.
I totally agree
no, Mike,
with you.
That's
and
a
I,
good point, yeah. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say real quick, I don't know if all the media is sort of like that, but I do sense what you're feeling, like everybody, you kind of feel the pressure, like everybody wants to say, whether it's ESPN or anybody else, sort of like just applaud it. But I think you got to look at it like this. I think as a human being aspect, it's really what he does after he leaves the arena and stuff in some way is none of our business, right? I'm a Christian. I'll tell you my Christian beliefs, you know the word, you know the Bible, people know different things, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, whatever it is, you know, it's, you know, it is considered sin, but you're not to judge, you know? So I look at it like this, like, it's not my business, this and that, and I'm not going to say, you know, to kids, like, oh, you know, look up to Jason Collins, but for kids who are like him, they need this because you got to see how all these kids who are tormented and bullied that have these feelings inside that are actually homosexual, you know, I don't know. It's such a weird thing, right? But if you, you know, I heard a kid on Mike Francesa today and he said, I'm a wrestler. I played hockey in high school and I'm a wrestler. And, you know, he's like, I'm 31 and I'm gay. And it's like, you know, that's a situation where we don't live in it, right? Because we're not that way. So it's hard, you know, it's sort of hard to measure it. But I know what you're saying. You shouldn't feel pressure or the backlash from the media either. Go ahead, Ray.
I was going to say, you know, Mike, you bring up a good point. I think we should be at a point, and I think this is where hopefully we get to, is we should be at a point where, on the one hand, people should be free to, you know, be who they are. But on the other hand, people should be free to say, and I think that hopefully there's some, you know, sort of middle ground here. People can be free to say, you know what? I don't believe in this, in his choices
lifestyle.
Or his lifestyle,
yeah.
But I can still be a teammate. I can still go to work, and I can still participate, you know, and be a teammate and not be biased against him and go home and you know, treat him professionally and go do my job, have him go his job, and still not believe in what he believes in and not
exactly.
Practice the faith the way he does, and I have a different interpretation of Christianity, and I live my life a different way, and that's all good. So everybody can win in that scenario where you recognize that this guy doesn't necessarily, you know, live the lifestyle that you do, but you don't discriminate him at the place of work, and you come to work and you treat him equally as a human.
It's like agree to disagree. It's like agree to disagree.
Quick point, guys. Quick point. I heard them talking today. They said, is this going to be a backlash, Jason Collins, you know, getting a job as an NBA player again?
No, he wasn't going to play anyway.
There it is, guys. In my opinion, I think he has a better chance of a team picking him up now than he did before, because these owners and everyone's going to want to be politically correct, and if they don't pick him up, it's going to seem like kind of a conspiracy, you know, against gays. So I think he has, you know, is equal or if not better chance to get a job next year, because teams are going to be going extra hard to make it seem, you know, that they support this 100%.
You might be right, but this is the thing where I said in the beginning of the show, I don't know if you heard, remember, he's 34, he'll probably be 35 by starting next year, and the last two seasons he's sort of already been in and out of the league. He only really played with the Wizards this year because of Nene and Okafor being hurt. So listen, real quick, enough of this. You're our football guy.
Yeah.
How pissed were you at your Cowboys for leaving Sharif Floyd on the board? You needed a tackle. Leaving Vicario, the safety, on the board. You trade down. Not like you got so much. And then you take a guy that Mayock and Mel Kiper, he's a good center. No knock on him. But he was graded late, mid to late second round, third round, and you draft him 31.
Guys, with the Cowboys, they were in the wrong spot in picking number 18. All the offensive linemen, I think Vicaro went a few picks before him. Everything that they wanted, that they needed, was off of the board. I agree with you 100%. The guy they picked up, the center from Wisconsin, was a bit of a reach. My problem is with the second pick, with the tight end from San Diego State. Why are you picking this guy up? Jason Witten just had one of his best career years. I know he's getting a little bit older, but the Cowboys have so many needs on the offensive defensive line, and you're picking up another weapon for Romo, then you go right back in the third round and you pick up the receiver from Baylor.
Draft from them.
Yes, a terrible draft. You know, they said they got some steals, you know, in the fourth to sixth round. But, you know, let's be realistic. Those guys are, you know, hit or miss. You never know. When everyone likes to say, you know, they're getting a steal. But if it's after the third round or so, you don't know. I will say this, however. When we look back at this draft, the one steal I do believe in is the Eagles getting Matt Barkley in the fourth round. I think Chip Kelly's going to be able to work with this guy, you know, a year or two down the road. And in my opinion, that's the steal of the draft, getting Matt Barkley in the fourth round.
Well, plus, they got Zach Ertz, the tight end.
Right. So the Cowboys, what they did was not only did they not have a great draft, but the Eagles within their division. You know, the Giants and the Redskins, Redskins have to give up a lot to get RG3, so they didn't have a very rich draft this year. But the Eagles, between getting Lane Johnson, who's the most athletic of all those offensive linemen, who maybe projects to be the best if you just go on raw athleticism, and then Zach Ertz, like Tay said, in the second round, and then Logan, the tackle from LSU, the defensive tackle in the third round, and then
like I said,
Matt Barkley, what a nice draft for Chip Kelly. So you got to think that the Eagles are looking good.
Guys, here's the thing that everyone's missing out on, too. The Eagles have two offensive linemen returning from injury last year. Peters, you know, one of the best left tackles in the game in their center.
Put
him with this, you know, this tackle now on the right side. The number four pick, that terrible offensive line from last year that got Vic killed, actually might be a strength now.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. Well, thanks for calling, Mike. We're going to finish talking about the NFL draft, and we appreciate you. We haven't heard from you in a bit, so it's good to know you're still listening. We really appreciate it, man.
And listen, on Thursday, we're going to have Charles Davis from the NFL Network and Fox talking about the draft and talking about what he thinks about, you know, our Cowboys and the Eagles and Tay's Steelers and Arizona.
So definitely listen and call in. We'll let you ask him a question, okay?
Hey, thanks for the time, guys. I sure will.
All right, take care. Thanks so much. And, you know, it's so funny what he's saying. We talked about, talking about the draft, and that's exactly where we were headed. you know, you look at the Cowboys, but, you know, to me, I want to look at some of the teams who did really well. And for me, Ray, I got to say, we mentioned the Eagles. I also like what the Bengals did. I think Cincinnati got some nice, nice players. And to me, the first running back taken in the whole draft, they got Giovanni Bernard from North Carolina, right?
You mean it wasn't Eddie Lacy?
That's right, number fifth pick in the second round. And you know what's so funny? They also get, in the first round, Tyler Eifert. So you've got toys for Dalton now that I think are really incredible. And I really like what Cincinnati did. I think, you know, even later on, some of the defensive players they got were strong. But just watch what you see going on there in Cincinnati, even signing my boy James Harrison. They made some nice moves. You could give the Chargers some props. I don't know what you think about the Charger draft. I haven't asked you yet.
Oh, Fluker, Jay Al, and Keenan Allen.
How do you like the Chargers? I think they did pretty good.
No, I like that. I like getting Fluker because you obviously needed some protection for Phillip Rivers because he's been getting beat up last couple of years, not playing up to his Pro Bowl caliber last few years. Moving up to get him, and then getting Allen, getting an explosive receiver. And, you know, ever since you've lost some receivers to free agency.
And weapons, huh?
Yeah, getting him some. I like that. But you know who I need to start drafting, potentially an apology letter, is to Ozzie Newsome. Because
the Ravens did great.
I'm thinking of Boomerville. But, you know, in this draft, so they lose Ed Reed, but they pick up the Florida safety Elam. And then to replenish some of the linebacking losses, they pick up Arthur Brown from K-State. And then to, you know, get that defensive tackle Kruger, you know, replacing him, they pick up Brandon Williams. And then they pick up John Simon, the linebacker from Ohio State. So
very nice.
Baltimore really, really focused on replenishing that defense. And so,
well, but also don't forget, not just even signing Doomerville, but Michael Huff, up in the defensive line, they got Canty and one other guy. So they got a nice rotation, and they got the fullback in the fourth round, who's pretty good. So to help Ray Rice, I like that. So I got to give, you know me, I'm a Steeler fan. I got to give the Ravens a lot of love. But you know what my good feel moment is, Ray, of the whole draft? The San Francisco 49ers. Pick 34 in the fourth round, took a shot on Marcus Lattimore, the running back. I am so happy. I think the Niners had a good draft. They moved their 13 picks around and drafted 11 guys. But getting Lattimore, who can basically redshirt for this year and then wind up being, you know, their third or fourth back, and Gore's going to retire in a couple years, or they might just have to even let him go. I think the Niners had a very, very good draft. Also got a nice receiver in that same fourth round, the kid, the Payton kid. So I like what the Niners did too. So
right, and also they were the ones that took Dallas's pick, right? They lose Deshaun Golson in the free agency, and then they end up trading up and filling that need with Dallas's pick. So yeah,
Eric Reed,
perfect
for them.
Like
Eric Reed is perfect.
Eric Reed.
Yeah.
San Francisco 49ers were definitely drafting from a position of strength because they started out having so many picks. But even still, I like the way they drafted.
And how about Geno Smith to the Jets? You talk about the quarterbacks, right? E.J. Manuel to the Bills. And then Tampa takes Mike Glennon from NC State, the 6'7.5", almost 6'8", kid to put some pressure on Freeman. So,
right.
You know,
so
a couple of different things.
Real quick. So we will talk about it more on Thursday, but I'm not a big fan of E.J. Manuel's where they drafted him. I think he's 2 to 3 years away, and I don't think you use your first-round pick on somebody that's 2 to 3 years away, especially in this league and this NFL. But
right. Landry Jones goes to the Steelers. Got to like that.
Yeah, Landry to the Steelers, Geno to the Jets. And, again, we talked about this off air, but it wouldn't be the worst thing if Geno Smith held a clipboard behind David Garrard for half a season or a full season and looked at him as the 2014 quarterback for the Jets.
Yeah. Listen, I want to give a shout-out to the Steelers. They picked up, our buddy Mike Golic over there at ESPN. They picked him up. So I think that's going to be a good look. Yeah, he'll have a chance because they're not bringing back Casey Hampton. So he signed with them. And Giants got Ryan Nassib. And Jacksonville took Jordan Rodgers, Aaron's brother, and then the quarterback from Arizona, Matt Scott. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, teams. Wilson went to the Raiders, and then the big arm kid, Tyler Bray, signs with KC. So, but like you said, Thursday, everybody check us out, 6 p.m. Eastern. We've got Charles Davis from NFL Network and Fox Sports. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, Ray and Tay, we're out.
Talking sports with friends. Peace. Should be some good basketball games tonight.